Very good to see all of you here this morning. We're going to continue in the Beatitudes about attitude. And I told Wayne, I won't get through both verses this morning. There was just too much. And I don't like to rush through the Word. I hope you don't either. The Word's something that we need to digest and take in and meditate on. And sometimes you can do an injustice to it by trying to rush through a text. So this morning's text is Matthew 5 and verses 5 and 6. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask this morning that you take this to our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. See where we may fail, where we need to improve and strengthen ourselves through the help of the Holy Spirit. I ask a blessing on everyone that has come here. And Lord, you said wherever two or three are in your name, you're in the midst. So we want to welcome you into our midst this morning, Lord Jesus, and ask Holy Spirit that you will teach us the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I was a little remiss last Sunday. I failed to mention that when you read these Beatitudes, with every blessing, there's a promise follows. Last week, we talked about being poor in spirit, to be humble in spirit, and the blessing followed. The promise that followed the blessing was, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. We talked about mourning over our own sin, our own shortcomings. The promise is, for they shall be comforted. God does that in his word. I talked last week about judgment. He warned Israel through Isaiah that judgment was coming, but in the midst of his judgment, he had promises of comfort. You know, he said, you humble yourselves, and I'll be with you. He said, I'm high and holy, and I inhabit the highest places, but I'm also with those who are humble and contrite. And this morning, we're going to talk about meekness. As I said, I realized about Thursday or Friday, I wasn't going to be able to get through two verses in one message, not without keeping you here 2 hours, and most people won't tolerate that very well anymore. I was told in Bible college, the mind can only retain what the seat can stand. So I'm going to divide this up between two Sundays. So Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is very often looked at today as weakness, or that's how people perceive it. So it's not a very popular word. You know, last week we talked about the poorness in spirit, and the opposite of that is pride, or what the Bible calls a haughty spirit. And people came to hear Jesus teach. They came to be healed. He was casting out demons, healing people. And while they were there, he was teaching. And Jesus is expounding on what the prophets had already said. And he was explaining it. So he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And many times, especially I've noticed with men, we think of meekness as weakness. And you can't be weak, you know. I remember when they started teaching evolution in school, before I left high school, and the survival of the fittest, you know, that only the strong survive. And when you got into the work world, you know, I used to hear that. You got to be strong to survive. Even some people do it even to the point of stepping on people. You know, the survival of the fittest. And when we think of meekness, too often we equate it with weakness. And especially men, we don't like the idea of being a floor mat for somebody. And that's how we think of meekness. Well, I'm not going to lay down and let people walk on me. And that's not what meekness is. Meekness means gentleness. It means humility. And if you think about it, it takes consent of our will to be meek. It takes a decision on our part to be meek. And I've always said meekness is actually power in control. Because you can choose not to be meek. Now, Jesus said, you're blessed if you're meek, if you're humble, because you shall inherit the earth. Jesus was meek. He said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentle and lowly is another word for meekness. Now, it was the goal of a disciple not only to know what their rabbi knew, but to become just like their rabbi. And when Jesus called it a yoke, that's what the rabbis called their teaching. Their teaching was called a yoke. So he says to the people here, to his disciples, he said, you take my yoke on you. But he not only talked about being meek, he was meek. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm meek and I'm gentle. You be meek and you be gentle. That's not easy sometimes as a Christian. I've had times that I've not been very gentle, not been very lowly, not been very meek. Been very is what I meant to say. The Bible also teaches that meekness is a fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. So if you are a child of God and the Spirit of God lives within you, that meekness is there. You ever had the Holy Spirit rebuke you? Put you in your place? Yeah. That is a, when God does that, that's to make you humble, to make me humble. I shared the last message about on the ambulance, you know, I had to work with a lot of druggies, and I used to be a druggie, and I would catch myself getting judgmental because I'm not a druggie anymore. And I would think, boy, what an idiot. And boy, the Spirit of God would say, I remember another idiot. You know, used to act just like that. And God does that to keep us in the right perspective. God loves meekness. He says that all through the Scripture. He loves it. He said a meek and quiet spirit is very precious to him. That's something to keep in mind. And when we approach God, just as we have to be poor in spirit, we have to be meek. Without it, we won't hear from God. How many of you know sometimes God's word says things that just does not make sense to us? James Dobson wrote a book years back that I read called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And it was a good book because he talked about in our lives as Christians, we experience things and we feel like, good night. Why am I going through this, God? This doesn't make sense. Well, that takes a meekness to accept what God has laid out for us. If we have the Holy Spirit, part of the fruit he produces is meekness, as I said. You know, the Scriptures say that God has ordained, foreordained, predestined, that you and me are to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ, or conformed. That takes meekness on my part. You can resist that, or you can accept it. A lot of times we don't like that because we're like, I'm fine, you know. What do you need to change about me? And God says, well, there's a lot I need to change about you. I need to mold you into the image of my son. And you and I, like a clay submits to the hands of the potter, we have to submit to that molding. And again, I believe that's a consent of our will. I believe, and I'm not questioning the sovereignty of God, but I believe that you and I can say no. I won't be molded. I'm not doing that. I've had times that I've shot off my mouth and the Spirit of God would say, you need to go apologize. And I say, I didn't say anything wrong. You know, I would justify what I didn't say anything wrong. What I said needed to be said. And the Lord would say, go apologize. I don't like that. You know, I want God to say, well, I know you's right, but you just need to go apologize. But he says, you need to go apologize. One time years ago, he said, you're causing this person to judge. Even though what you said wasn't wrong, you caused them to stumble. And you need to go make that right. Now, I'm not bragging on thee, but that was an example of me, to me, of what meekness is. Because I could have said no. And I did for 2 weeks. You know, you shouldn't argue with God, but I did for 2 weeks. Nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not the one in the wrong. And God just kept pressing me. And I finally, a friend of mine used to say, I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. And I finally figured out this has to be the Spirit of God talking to me. And I had to humble myself and go to this person. And you know what happened? They chewed me out. Said they didn't want anything to do with me. And I walked away and I had a peace. I did what God asked me to do. Now later, there was a reconciliation. But it would never have happened if I hadn't obeyed. If I hadn't humbled myself as the Spirit of God said to. So meekness is not always easy. Meekness is necessary for salvation. As I said, for God to mold us into the image that He wants to mold us into. James says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You ever read something in the Bible you didn't like? Am I the only one that's ever done that? You read something in the Word and it hits you right square between the eyes and you go, oh, that hurt. Why does God do that? Paul said He does that so He doesn't have to judge us with the world. Understand, the relationship we have with the Father is a father-child relationship. And Paul says, God chastises His people. My daddy chastised with a leather belt. Now, he wasn't an abuser, but he told me when I was a kid, you're like a slab-sided mule. I got to get your attention before I can talk to you. And that was true. I was a strong-willed child. And daddy could get on to me, and I'd, yeah. But boy, when that belt come out, he had my full attention. Yes, sir. It melted the earwax. I could hear good. You know. And I remember he spanked me and set me down and say, now that I got your attention, yeah, you got my full attention. And God does the same thing to us. Maybe not to that extreme, to where we feel that extreme. But Paul says He chastises us so He doesn't have to judge us with the world. The Scriptures also say, don't faint when the Lord rebukes you, because He chastises those whom He loves. And Paul said, if you're without chastisement, it proves that you're not God's child. God's not going to chastise you. You don't like somebody else spanking your kid. God's same way. So we have to be meek to receive that. And we have to understand He's doing it out of love. He wants you and He wants me to be the best us we can be in Christ. And these precepts Jesus are teaching aren't a one-time thing. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. You have to humble yourself to be saved. I said you can't be saved if you don't see your need for it. But it doesn't stop at salvation. The Christian walk is a continuous, daily humbling of yourself. It's a continual grief, if you will, when you know there's sin in your life. And the Spirit of God puts His finger on it. This is a daily thing. Jesus said, every day you have to pick up your cross and follow Me. That's a choice that you and I make. To pick up my cross means I got to put something down. To pick up my cross means I got to die to me and live for Christ. You can't do this without meekness. So Jesus said, you're blessed when you're meek. I told you last week, the New Living said, God blesses those who see their need for Him. So He's pronouncing these blessings on the people, and you can think of it this way. He could say, God will bless you if you humble yourself. Humbling ourselves can be hard, but what's the promise? He will bless you. He's going to bless you. If we don't, we're going to be in constant friction and opposition to God. When he says, this is the way, walk in it, and I say, I like this path. I don't think this is such a bad way. I don't see anything wrong with it. I remember a young man that I had shared Christ with and prayed with, and he told me he had became a Christian, and sometime later we were talking, and he liked fooling around married women. And he was telling me about one such incident, and I said, wait a minute. Now, you're a Christian. You're not allowed to do that. He said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. And I said, well, then I have to wonder if you're even a Christian then. Because the Word of God says it's wrong. And eventually he walked away. He said, well, I just can't follow all those rules you follow. I'm glad it works for you, but I can't. What is that a lack of? It's a lack of humility. It's a lack of repentance. It's a lack of grief. It's a lack of acknowledging his sin. And when I talked to him, I wasn't trying to drive him away. I was speaking to him as a brother. You know, I said, brother, you can't continue to do these things, not follow Christ. You can say you're following Christ, but God wants to mold you. God wants to shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. God wants to change us. Max Lucado said, he takes you just as you are, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. Praise God. We all carry a lot of baggage into salvation. The first time I read that Paul told Timothy, God came to save sinners of who I am the chief, I thought, step aside, dude. I'm a chiefer sinner than you were, Paul. And over the years, when I get to thinking that, hey, I've reached a little higher plane, I'm doing pretty good, what happens? Wham! Paul said to the church of Galatia, if anyone is overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness. It's not the time to get high-minded and high-handed and step back like the Pharisee and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that. He said, consider yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Christians, we live in a very dangerous world. We live in enemy territory. We have the world constantly pulling against us, contradicting the teachings of Jesus Christ. Greg talked about that this morning in Sunday school. They've rewritten and twisted the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it a gospel of convenience. You don't need to change. God likes you just like you are. You know, you live by your truth, not by anyone else's truth. That does not show a spirit of meekness. Meekness says, yes, Lord. You're right. I'm wrong. I need to change. I told you last Sunday that Jesus had a lot to say to these people. And when he starts this sermon, he's not just pulling this out of the air. He's telling them, this is what you're going to need. Because, boy, I got a lot of things I need to share with you, but this is how you're going to have to approach this. This is how you're going to have to approach God. And as I said, God loves meekness. It says a meek and gentle spirit is very precious in his sight. Do you want to be precious? I want to be precious. I'd love God to let me say, isn't he so precious? Yeah. I'm special. I think God says sometimes Rick's kind of special. But, you know, too much fun in the 70s kind of made up for some of that. But I want him to think of me as precious. I have a hard time sometimes accepting God's love, I'll be honest with you. I do. Sometimes, man, I just think, do you really love me like that? I mess up so much. And I come to him and I call him Father. And sometimes I think, does he still call me son? You know, I'm sorry, that's just the way I'm wired. And I realize he does. But he wants me to come to him honestly and say, Father, I've sinned. I've wronged you. Please forgive me. And James says we have to meekly receive the implanted word. It won't work if you don't. If you think these truths are for somebody else and you're sure hoping Sister Susie over there is getting this, you better look within. I remember hearing about a preacher that was preaching against the sin of tobacco, and this lady on the front row was amening him, amen, preach it. And he preached on the sin of alcohol. She said, amen, preach it. He started preaching on the sin of gossip, and she shut up. The sister sat next to her said, ain't you going to amen him? And she said, no, he quit preaching and went to meddling. Don't we look at things like that sometimes? It's okay for you to get on somebody else's sin, but don't get over here in my pet peeves. So Jesus said meekness has to be. We have to be meek. And that is a consent of the will. I believe that with all my heart. We're not robots. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of meekness in it, but I have to work with him in order for that to happen. I have to allow that. I have to allow God to mold me into the image of his son. That takes conformity on my part. John Wesley said that sanctification was when I took my will and gave it to God and allowed him to make it his will. Not in opposition of a will, but when I take my will, everything in my life, and I say, here, you make this yours. That takes meekness. Very important for the Christian to be meek. All right. I said that every one of these blessings are followed by a promise. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I watched a movie, and this gunfighter had taken up with his family that had these outlaws after him, and her husband was a pacifist and kept trying to avoid any confrontation, and he got so frustrated with this man. He said, you think the meek's going to inherit the earth? They ain't going to inherit nothing west of the Mississippi. He was trying to get the guy to stand up and fight. And when I heard that, I got to thinking about that. Is Jesus talking about this earth? A lot of people think he is. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's not talking about this earth. We'll look at that here in a minute. This is what we're going to close out with. Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens and the earth will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So he can't be talking about this earth. Peter said through the Holy Spirit, this earth has been reserved by fire. How did God destroy it the first time? Water. And he promised he'd never do that again. You remember Noah offered the offerings, said God smelled a pleasing aroma. He said, I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake. And then he put a rainbow in the cloud. My grandkids, when they were little, that's one of the first lessons I taught them. After it rained, there'd be a rainbow. I'd take them outside and say, see that? God did that because he said it would remind him that he promised never to flood the earth again. But he said he's going to destroy this earth with fire. Peter said, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In Isaiah 66, God said through the prophet, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. Of course, he was talking to not only to Israel, but to the Messiah. Now, I had a Christian church preacher got so upset with me one time. We got talking about this. I said, I understand the kingdom of heaven is outside of where we're at right now. But I said, the Bible teaches that God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. and the kingdom of heaven will be upon that. Oh, no, no, no. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. But remember, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And it can't be this earth, because it'll be destroyed. Who wants to inherit this earth if God's going to destroy it? I don't. You know, here's the earth. Oh, well. You know, there you had it for a little while. Peter said, God has promised to make a new heaven and a new earth, and only righteousness will dwell in it. That's the earth we're being promised. I'll close with Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Any of you have ever, over the years, attended funerals that I've done, this is my favorite graveside passage. I did a baby's funeral once, and I read this passage, and a couple months later, I had to do another baby's funeral. And this lady I didn't recognize come up to me at the end of the funeral and said, I don't know if you remember me, but I remember that passage. And she said, do you use that at all funerals? I said, yeah, that's my go-to. And she said, I want you to know, you'll never know how much comfort I got out of that. She said, I was tore up about losing my child, but when you read about this promise, she said, you'll never know how that touched me. And I told her, that's the word of God. That's not me touching you. I'm just the messenger boy. But this is the promise we have. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. I want to stop there just for a minute. This amazed me when I found this out. Tabernacle, another word for tabernacle is tent. And whenever in this culture, when they were living in tents, dad would expand the tent when the son married. They would add on to the tent to make room for the son and his wife. And the Greek here, God is saying, I will spread my tent over you. Family. The tabernacle of God is with man. I will spread my tent over you. What a promise. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Church, that's the earth that the Lord has promised we will inherit. No more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. He said to David in the Psalms, you will look for the wicked and they won't be there. That's the earth that we who follow Christ have been promised. But there's conditions placed on it. Now, some people don't like that word, conditions. So far, the Lord said, you're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to be honest. And you're going to have to be meek, continually meek. Remember what Paul said, I don't count myself as attaining all this yet, but I forget what's behind me and I strive forward with everything in me to reach that goal. That's the mindset we got to have in the church today. We live in a time that mocks God, that mocks his word. They mock the church. They think we're idiots. And I told my wife the other morning, I'd been reading and praying and meditating. I said, you know what? I've spent years trying to defend God, and I don't need to. When somebody comes up and tells me, I don't see how you believe what you believe, all I got to do is say, well, you prove to me why you don't believe it. I'm not under any obligation to try to prove it. I said, I can just flip that over and say, well, you prove it. I don't think there is a God. Prove it. I don't think that Bible's God's word. Prove it. Why don't you think that? Put them on the defense. No, you don't have to be mean about it. Just say, well, explain that to me. And generally, I find when that happens, they're going to slip up. I've had people say, I don't think there is a good God. Why? Because there's so much evil. Really? I agree with you. There's a lot of evil, but where'd you get your concept of evil? If there's no good God, where'd you ever get an idea of evil? If there wasn't any good, evil would be normal. Hang on, church. There's an earth coming. We call the kingdom of heaven, a new heavens and a new earth. And Jesus said, you will inherit that. So, don't be too worried about what's going on here right now. Don't get your nose out of joint and think, where's God at? Jesus said iniquity would abound in the last days. And boy, we're seeing it. It's in spades. But he said, you hang on. You're going to inherit that earth. And you're never going to have to suffer like that again. Do you believe that? Amen, I believe it. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I'm the first to admit that I lack very much in the area of gentleness and meekness, but I want to be. And I ask that you mold me. Chastise me where I need it, Lord. Mold me into that image you would have me to be in. My prayer for this church is that we will not only become a church that teaches the word, but that lives it, and that people can look at our lives and see that there's something different about us. That we may present the gospel of Jesus Christ without words, but by the way that we live and honor you and glorify you. I pray for all who are here today, Lord, that you will deal with each of us individually on this subject this morning. And we're so thankful for the mercy that you have shown to us, that we who were not a people could now be called the people of God. And we offer you the praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.